Is there a show that you found yourself watching more often during this current season? I know for my wife, Emily, and I, we found ourselves watching a few things in this season of being stuck inside more often than not. And one of those shows that we found ourselves absolutely loving is Shark Tank. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, it is a show where people invent different products, ideas, and businesses, and they're given an opportunity to present this idea to a group of potential investors in hopes that they will invest in their company. And I think we like this show because we like to see people's creativity and how they solve problems. I think we like to see a good story and life-changing opportunity. But if I'm honest with you, one of the reasons we absolutely love this show is every few episodes, someone will come on with the most ridiculous idea. And we love to watch the investors' responses, and some of them have been pretty strange. And some of our favorites were, there was a guy who wanted to invent a product to solve the missing sock problem that we've all experienced. And his solution was a company that packaged socks, not with two, but with three socks, so that when you lost one, you still had two. Crazy, I know. Another one was a product called City Kitty. Check this out. This was a product to help you train your kitten to be potty trained, not just for the litter box, but for the toilet. I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but this thing actually went on to sell $5 million worth of products. I don't quite get it. I'm a dog person, but it was crazy. And my absolute favorite product I've ever seen was called Waken Bacon. Now, this was, because who doesn't love waking up to the smell of bacon in the morning? And this guy created this product that was an alarm clock that you put your bacon in the night before, and when it hit a certain time, it would turn on, and it would begin to cook the bacon, and the smell would wake you up. Now, I was all about it. It turns out it was a massive fire hazard. It didn't quite get off the ground, but it was crazy and strange. And we love this show, and one of the things I've realized over watching this show is that in these moments that we get to see, the inventor and the creator of these products really does have all the control and authority. That even as they come onto the show and they debate whether it's a good idea or a bad one, how to better run their business or not, ultimately all the control rests with the inventor. They are the one that decides, this is what my product is, here's what I want to use it for, and whether or not they want to make a deal or not. And watching this show has really only helped me and to be reminded that really the same is true for God. As we continue in this series about exploring our essential beliefs as a church, our first essential belief really is all about this very thing, that God is the greatest and original inventor and creator, that it all started with him. Look at the first five words of your Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created. And we see immediately God is off and he begins to create, shape, form, and set everything into motion that you and I have ever known and experienced. And not only is that a reminder to us that God is responsible for this, but it's also a reminder to us that God already was. That as God creates, he already existed, that he is not a creation. And we see instantly and we are reminded that God is the original and greatest creator and inventor. And it's one thing for us to understand that and to agree with that belief that God is the creator, but for that to affect our lives is a completely different thing. And here's why. Because if God is the creator and inventor, then he should have all authority in our lives. And does he have all authority in your life today? Is there a part of your life that you are holding back? Is there a part of your life that you have not trusted God with, or that you're afraid to trust God with or let him into? Because the reality is, if we believe that this is true and we agree with the statement that God is the creator, then it also means that he has authority over all of our lives. And is that true for us today? Now, living this out can be a pretty difficult thing. And I think that having perspective helps us tremendously. Now, if you know me at all, you will know that I'm a massive fan of space, of NASA, of rockets, of exploration. I absolutely love it. I love the creativity, the problem solving, and the heart to explore. But what I love most of all of space and NASA and my passion for it is I love the perspective that it gives me. To be able to look out at space and our universe that is so big and vast and only the parts that we're even able to see, it suddenly puts my life into perspective. My worries, my anxieties, the things I'm afraid of, even the things I choose to chase after suddenly are put into perspective. And I recognize that maybe they are smaller than I really thought. Perspective is a powerful thing and can be a powerful thing. There's a phenomenon that many astronauts experience when they get to go to space, and they get to go and really look at the Earth in front of them, everything they've ever known and experienced, and it's called the overview effect. And it's a cognitive shift that takes place in their minds as they look at everything they've ever known and experienced right in front of them. And what happens is they begin to realize that maybe their fears and worries and anxieties really are not that important, or they're smaller than they really thought. They begin to recognize that the things that separate us and that divide us, the things that we feel like are differences, maybe they're really not that big. And that the borders that we choose to fight over really are just man-made concepts. Perspective is a powerful thing. Now, you and I will probably never get to experience that very thing of going to space and looking at the Earth and everything we've ever known in front of us, but I did want to share with you one of my favorite photos in all of human history. It was a photo taken by a man named Michael Collins, and he was one of the astronauts on Apollo 11, which was the first to land on the moon. Now, when Apollo 11 got to the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong got into the lunar module, which departed from the command module and began to descend to the moon. And Michael Collins was actually the one that essentially stayed in the car, orbiting the moon until they returned and would head home. Now, you might feel bad for him to think he went all the way to the moon and didn't get to step on its surface, but Michael Collins got great perspective that day. And I wanted to share with you a photo that he took in that moment. And here's that photo. You see, in this photo, I love this photo so much, not only because of the historic moment that was about to take place, but I love this photo because of the perspective that it gives us, that it reminds us of how small we really are in comparison to God. And Michael Collins in this moment is so isolated, he's so far from everything he's ever known and experienced, it can only help to remind us of how big God really is. And it's also been said that this is a photo of every person who has ever lived and died except for Michael Collins. It's a powerful photo, and perspective can be a powerful thing. And when we begin to really think about how big God truly is, when we look at a photo like that and we think about how small we are in comparison to a God that created everything we've ever known and seen, to a God who has authority and control over everything, it can be a scary thought. And I want you to know that if you've ever been afraid or worried just to think about how big God is in comparison to how small we are, I want you to know that that is a very normal thing to feel. And it's to be expected that when we really think about how big and mighty God is in comparison to us, fear is a very natural response. I want us to see what Proverbs 9 says. This is God reminding us. This is God reminding us through the writer of this proverb. He said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, so many times when we read that, we think, what does that really mean? Does that mean to honor God? Does that mean to fear him? It can't possibly mean that we should fear God. But I want you to know this morning, that really does mean that we should fear God. When we think about how big he is in comparison to us, that is a very normal and natural response. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to see that fear is a very common response to people when they're in God's presence. In the Old Testament, when God came to a man named Moses and he said, Moses, I've seen and heard the affliction and cries of my people, that I'm going to rescue them from slavery in Egypt, and I want you to be a part of that. It says that Moses' response to him was to hide his face in fear. When God gives a vision to Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, it says that he sees God sitting on his throne and he's afraid. When he sees how big and mighty God is, that he's afraid, and he says that God's robe fills the entire temple, and he says that he cowers before God, and he says, woe is me, when he recognizes how sinful he is standing in front of a perfect and holy God. John, who was a disciple who walked with Jesus for years, at the end of his life, he's given a revelation, and he gets to see Jesus again in all of his glory and power, and it says that when he sees Jesus again, that he falls at his feet as though he was dead. He was afraid. Why is this a common response? Because God really is that powerful. He is that big. He has that much control. He has that much authority. Let me just remind you of a few things that God reminded us of. In Revelation 22, God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. God reminds us that he was here before us and he will be here after us. And he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He says, I'm the Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega being the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He says, I was here before you and I will be here after you. The writer of Psalm 102 said this, talking about God. He said, in the beginning, you, God, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of your hands. Reminding us, God is responsible for everything we've ever seen and known. But look at what else it says. They will perish and you will remain. We see that God was here before us and he will be here after us. And when we begin to see how big he is in comparison to us, it can be a fearful thing. Look at what else God reminded us of by the same prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 44, this is God speaking. He said, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare it and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. In this moment, God is reminding us, there is no other like me. I am the only God. He says, if you feel like you have some sort of power and you feel like you are a God or you have other gods that you might worship, he says, you know what? Tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, you can't. He says, only I can, because I am the creator, and because of that, I have rule over all of it. This is my creation. I am in control, and I am the only God. And that reminder to us is really the perfect summary of our first essential belief, which is this. Our first essential belief is that we believe that there is only one God who is the ruler and the creator and the ruler of the universe. Not only did he create everything that we see, but because of that, he has authority over all of it. And he is the only one. He stands alone. He is unchallenged in might and power, control and authority. And many times when we think about this, it can be a scary thing. But I want you to see what God said next through the prophet Isaiah. After reminding us of how big he is, how unmatched he is, how much control and authority he has in our lives and in this world, look at what he said next. Fear not, nor be afraid. As God reminds us of how big he is and that he is to be feared, he reminds us that we don't need to fear him. That even though he is that big and mighty, he wants us to understand that we need not be worried. And he does the same thing to these people who stand in his presence. He told Moses that he didn't need to be afraid. Isaiah, who's cowering before God, God comes to him and says, you don't need to be afraid. I'm going to forgive you of the weight and burden of your sins. When John fell at Jesus' feet as though he was dead, it says that Jesus came to him and he said the same thing, fear not, nor be afraid. Don't miss that. That God is so mighty, so great, so powerful, the creator and the ruler, and there is something to fear about a God that big, and yet that same God tells us that we do not need to fear him. And when we think about that and we begin to realize God's story really begins to come to life as we begin to recognize who God is, that he is that big and he desires that type of relationship with us. It can be life-changing. That type of perspective can change our lives. And also to recognize that same God calls us his children. The God who is that big wants that type of relationship with us. Why? I don't know. But it's what he wants. And when we really begin to understand that the God who created everything, who is in control over everything, calls us his children, it has the power to change our lives. Listen, Tim Keller, who is a brilliant pastor in New York, he said this. He said, so many times we feel like God is the landlord, that he is the landlord and that we are his tenants and that we get to live in his house because we give him something, because we pay him rents, that he just kind of lets us be here and he puts up with us. And he says, that's not the case at all. He says, we get to live in God's house because we're his children. that he invites us in. He wants us to be a part of the story that he's telling. He welcomes us. And when we begin to see that, God's story comes to life. When we begin to recognize that this is who God is. He is all-powerful, almighty, and yet he cares for us. Listen, I have three kids. And I know that the camera adds 10 pounds, but I am not a big guy at all. But if something were to ever threaten my kids and their safety, I would do everything in my power to protect them. Now, if that's me, how much more do you think the God of creation is able and willing to protect, provide, and love us? We cannot fully understand God's character, his humility, his sacrifice, and his love until we first understand how big and powerful he truly is. That the God of all creation wanted us to call him Father. That he calls us his friends. That he calls us his children. That God called the church his bride. The God that created everything that we've ever known and experienced stepped into his own creation and walked among us in Jesus, and even went on to lay his life down for us. When we begin to see that, God's story comes to life, and that perspective has the power to change our lives. It changes everything. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8. He said, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And it's a reminder to us that if God and his power and might is the thing to be feared most, and he tells us not to fear, he tells us that he's on our side and that he is good and he is for us, then what is there to fear? To recognize and believe that that God is on our side changes everything. That perspective has the power to change our lives. Look at what else Proverbs goes on to say. Proverbs 19 says, "Not only that the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, but that the fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied, and they will not be visited by harm." That to recognize and understand that God is that big and in control, he has all power and authority in our lives, actually leads to life and rest and satisfaction. When we understand that our life is put into perspective, when we understand that God is for us, he's on our side, and even when we feel out of control, he is in control. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to South America, and you may have heard his story before, he was actually martyred and killed by the very people he was going to reach. He was a wise man, and I want you to see something he wrote. He said that the Lord made mountains to climb, not just to look at, because up there one understands. Here's what he meant by that. The perspective was powerful. And he said, "You see that mountain in front of you?" He said, "Go climb it." He said, "It may take you hours, it may take you days or even weeks." But he says, "When you climb it and you get to the top and you're exhausted and you're out of breath and you feel a sense of accomplishment," he says, "then take a second and be reminded that God created that same mountain in an instant." He says it puts things into perspective. And in the midst of our lives and worry, for us to not only believe that God was the creator, but to allow that to affect our life is a very different thing. And suddenly we're reminded that God made mountains to be climbed. He made oceans to be searched. He made space to be explored. Not only for us to marvel at his creativity and the creation, but also to be reminded of how big he is, of how in control he is in these moments where we feel so out of control. And so what would change for you today? To not only agree that God is the creator, but to allow that to affect our life, to allow it to affect the way you live out every day of your life, that God has authority in your life and that we can trust him and that he is good and he is ultimately in control. And maybe you need to be reminded about that today. Whatever circumstances we're facing, whatever circumstances that you are facing, that God is good, and that to understand and be given the perspective of how big he is and how powerful he is can lead to life and peace and rest and satisfaction. And maybe you need to hear that today, that whatever you're facing, whatever you're in, whatever chaos is happening in your life, to be reminded that even though you feel out of control, that God is in control. And he is good and he is for you. And regardless of what may happen, he will be there with you in it. Are you nervous about today? Are you anxious or worried about tomorrow? Maybe you're anxious about what the next few months hold for us with the coronavirus. Maybe you're anxious about what the fall may look like in school, even your job, your financial security, even your health. What would it look like for you today not only to agree that God is the creator, but also that he is the ruler over all creation, including us, and to trust him and to lean into him? Perspective can be a powerful thing, and in the midst of our chaos and worry, to stop and to try to be reminded of who God is a powerful thing. Just a few months ago, my wife and I got to welcome our third child into the world, our son Josiah. And having a baby and delivering in the middle of this pandemic is a pretty stressful thing in itself. And we weren't able to have any friends or family around, and it was just very different. And after a day of laboring, they rushed us into the OR to have an emergency C-section. And not long after, we got to hold our son and to be thankful that everything went as planned. And I remember after that, they put my wife in a room where they could just monitor her after the procedure. And we were both so tired after an entire day of that, that we just fell asleep. We were so tired and exhausted. And not long after, I remember waking up and feeling really groggy. And as my wife also woke up, we just began to have a conversation. And as I began talking to my wife and we were both waking up, I quickly began to realize that something was very wrong. That as we were having this conversation, that things weren't quite making sense. And the things I would say to my wife, her responses were really out of place. And she seemed to be a little confused as to where we were and what we were doing and what this all was about. And I began to panic and quickly recognized something was very, very wrong. And soon the doctors and the nurses came in and they also recognized something was wrong. And they just wheeled us off to another part of the hospital to begin to run tests. And no one could tell me anything at 3-4 in the morning. They just said, we need to run tests. And the only thing they could say was, we think your wife may have had a stroke. And I remember 3-4 in the morning, nobody around, no one awake even, just going through these tests with my wife. And eventually they put us back in the room with no answers. And we had to wait on results. And sitting there, I remember annoying my wife, I'm sure, to death, because I just kept asking her questions while she was exhausted and wanting to go to sleep. And I just kept asking her question after question because I didn't want her to go to sleep. Because I didn't know if she was going to wake up again. And I didn't know what she was going to be like if she did wake up. And I remember eventually letting her go to sleep. And I remember sitting there and standing there in this room with my wife asleep and our son asleep, and recognizing that I have never been more out of control in my life. That in this moment, I am completely alone, and I feel so out of control with what's happening. And I remember just recognizing in my fear and my worry and my panic that I just needed some perspective. And so I remember thinking, God, I just want to be reminded of how big you are. And I remember I went over to the window in our hospital. I said, I just want to see creation. I remember going over to the window and I looked at the beauty of creation that is the downtown medical district of Houston and all its concrete. And I remember thinking, God, I'm going to look at the stars and I'm going to look at everything in front of me and I'm going to remind myself that you created everything that I see in front of me. You are the God of creation. And even in this moment where I feel so out of control, I know that you are in control, and I know that you are good. And in that midst of that moment, just recognizing, I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I know you're going to be there with me through it, and I know you will bring us and me through whatever comes next, really did help grant me a sense of peace, to step out of my chaos, out of my worry, anxiety, and be reminded of who God was. Eventually, the doctors came in and they told us that my wife was having a severe reaction to some of the medication from the procedure. And over the next day to 2 days, all of those symptoms just went away. And I remember just being reminded in that moment that that was a great reminder that I'm not nearly in control, as in control of my life as I think and I tell myself. And that perspective is a powerful thing, and perspective has the power to change our lives. And so what would it mean for you today not only to agree and accept that God is the creator, but to allow it to affect your life, that he also is the ruler over creation, including you and I, and that he has authority in our life? And what would it mean for us to give that, our lives and every part of our life, over to him and to trust him with it? As we close today, I just want to encourage us and to remind us that all creation is worshiping God when it lives in its purpose. When the bird does exactly what God intended it to do, it's worshiping him and it's singing glory and honor back to him. When all of creation does these things, it's worshiping God. And what would it mean for us to join into that song with creation to say, I will trust you, God. I will live in my purpose. I will give my life over to you and worship you as well. And as the band begins to play this song, I want to encourage us to sing along, but I also want to read to us just a little of what Psalm 148 says. Psalm 48 says, praise the Lord from the heavens. And it's talking about all creation worshiping God, its creator. And it goes on to say, praise him, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens and the skies. They're all praising his name. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in the ocean, the lightning, the hail, the storm, the snow and the clouds, the winds and the mountains, they're all proclaiming his name. It says the animals and the birds, and it tells us, kings of the earth and all nations, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and women and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. There is only one God, the creator and ruler of this universe, and he alone is worthy of our praise. And so what would it look for us to worship him with our life, to hand that authority over to him and say, God, I trust you. That perspective has the power to change our lives.